From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is The Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Wildcast Podcast. As always, Dominic Pacheco, my partner in crime. I am Justin Spears, giving you another episode of Strictly Basketball News. We actually have a very special guest coming out on the podcast later, Nick Johnson, former Arizona Wildcat guard, just won a championship in the G League with the Austin Spurs, and apparently he's like a big deal when it comes to fishing. Something you didn't know, Dom.
No, I had no idea.
I had no idea about it.
I'm excited to talk to him about it, though.
Oh, yeah. Fishing.
Nick Johnson, the deep sea fisher.
You big fisher?
I couldn't tell you the last time I fished, man.
I was five.
I went out with my dad and brother like when I was really little. But I mean, since then, I couldn't even tell you. But no, Nick Johnson, big fisher. He'll talk to us about that. A little bit about G League, NBA Finals, not NBA Finals, G League Finals MVP Nick Johnson.
Yeah.
Not just former Wildcat anymore. Now he's an MVP in the G League. So got a lot to talk to Nick Johnson about down
Absolutely.
In Tucson.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Absolutely.
And we got to ask him things about Tucson that he likes specifically. I'm curious, for players that come to Tucson, what is something about the city that they absolutely like?
Back to Tucson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But since our last podcast, Dom, the NBA Finals have been set up in...
yes, sir.
Boy, you guessed it, Part 4, Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors, going at it again for the fourth time in a row. LeBron James makes his 8th straight NBA Finals appearance, which is GOAT-worthy, if you ask me.
Former Arizona Wildcat Andre Iguodala making his 4th NBA Finals appearance straight consecutive. 2015 Finals MVP. Out game one, though. Mm-hmm. He will not be playing. Justin, you had a good tweet the other day with all the players. I'm going to go try to find it because I don't think you remember everyone off the top of your head. There was a lot of Pac-12 representation in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
More than you would think. Pretty much all on the Warriors' side.
Oh, pretty much all on the Warriors' side. I mean, you think about Andre Iguodala. You have the tweet up right now?
No, it's pulling it up, though.
Andre Iguodala, Steve Kerr, and assistant coach Bruce Frazier. Those are the Arizona representatives. And for USC, you have Nick Young. And for Oregon, you have Jordan Bell. And Chris Boucher, although Chris Boucher is not going to play, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he's still on the roster. And then UCLA is Kayvon Looney. That's just for the Warriors.
Right.
And then
you got Kevin Love on the Cavs.
Kevin Love on the Cavs.
From UCLA, right.
And then Stanford, Jerron Hollins, Warriors assistant coach. Mm-hmm. Did I miss anybody?
Clay Thompson.
Clay Thompson. That's
Steve
right.
Kerr? Did Wazoo? You get those two?
Yeah. Yeah, I got those.
Yeah, you got Kerr. All right.
But
yeah,
so Clay Thompson.
A ton of Pac-12 representation. Arizona representation even. Of note, no Sun Devils in with the elimination of James Harden.
I know
our fans will get a kick out of that, so I had to throw it in. No Sun Devils, but hey, a lot to watch in the NBA Finals just because it's the fourth straight. I'm a Warriors fan, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's nothing to watch in these finals. There's a ton going on. It should be a good series. Well, we'll see.
It should be a quick and easy series.
There'll be some good basketball. And look, the way I look at it, and again, I'm a Warriors fan, so take this with a grain of salt if you want to, but I love watching this series because you have the best players in the world going toe-to-toe. I mean, no matter how you draw it up, you have LeBron James and Kevin Durant going toe-to-toe, guarding each other for 48 minutes over six games, however long it goes. That's can't-miss basketball, in my opinion. I'll watch that, whether Kevin Durant's with the Thunder, the Warriors, whether LeBron's with the Cavs, with the Sixers, whoever he's with. If he's a Laker, I'll tune in and watch it because it's LeBron James playing basketball. That's a spectacle that we're not going to be able to watch that much longer. So enjoy it while you can. Four straight or not, it's pretty impressive.
If I'm Tyronn Lue, I'm not putting Kevin Durant on, or I'm not putting LeBron James guarding Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. You got to use as much energy as you can out of LeBron. And putting him on KD, that's not going to do you any good.
Right.
I put LeBron on Draymond. Have LeBron or Draymond on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good game plan, right?
Who can KD?
KD. You're gonna have to put on maybe maybe Jeff Green.
That's a good call, actually.
His former teammate down in OKC. But before we get Nick Johnson on, real quick, just a couple minutes. I would say it's a pretty eventful day or eventful past 48 hours in the Pac-12 because there's a lot of players that were testing the waters for the NBA draft, and they decided to come back. And I'm going to go ahead and lead off with Chris Wilks and Jalen Hands out of UCLA, because not only does UCLA, they have a top three recruiting class. Of course, you know, Sharif O'Neal, his eligibility with UCLA is still kind of wishy-washy, but if you take away Sharif O'Neal and you add in, they have Moses Brown, who's the number one center, or the number two center in the country, and then you add in all the players that are coming back. Sure, they lose Aaron Holiday, but Jalen Hands and Chris Wilks coming back, that is huge for UCLA. And they pretty much put themselves, I wouldn't say they put themselves in the driver's seat to win the Pac-12, but them and Oregon, I mean, those are your two favorites right there.
Hey, UCLA's got three four-star guards coming in. Again, they're the sixth-ranked class nationally, second in the Pac-12 to Oregon, who, I mean, you got two classes here who are among the best in the country. So the Pac-12's not messing around. Obviously, you know, with how low they've been the last couple of years, kind of been regressing, it might take a year or two to climb out of that and be consistent again. But, hey, UCLA and Oregon are giving it their all recruiting. Even Arizona State's up there now, too. Bobby Hurley trying to make a name for himself on the recruiting trail. So there's a lot of guys. But, yeah, I mean, you look at people coming back. The one that stands out to me, Justin, is Washington forward Noah Dickerson. I thought...
Good call.
Yeah,
good call.
He's coming back, reported by Jeff Goodman of ESPN. Look, this is a guy that I thought could have been a first-round pick in this year's draft. And
the way he played against Arizona.
Right, right. No, here, I had his Arizona stats up because I knew I was going to talk about this. Arizona, he put up 25, 7 rebounds, 10 of 15 from the field in 33 minutes in one matchup against Arizona. So Wildcat fans should not be happy that this man's coming back. I think he has a chance to go definitely in the first round in next year's draft, if not the top end of the first round. So I think Noah Dickerson's that good. You look at what he did in the Pac-12. If I can get my search right here, he was fourth in rebounding, 13th in scoring, sixth in field goal percentage, pretty consistent at the line for his size, but yeah, I mean, fourth in offensive rebounds, like this guy's an animal, he can do it all, and another year with Washington is going to do the Huskies a lot of good.
Man, oh man, Noah Dickerson, that's huge, but also another player that's kind of on the fringe was Wazoo's Robert Franks. And if he can come back, I think that's huge for the Cougars and Ernie Kent, because Ernie Kent, they lost Malachi Flynn. He transferred out to San Diego State, so they're losing some guard power right there. Robert Franks will be the number one option, hands down, next year, and he's looking to be a guy that plays anywhere from 38 to 40 minutes a game next year. So a lot of news going on in the Pac-12. A lot of news going on. Let's go ahead and get to Nick Johnson, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's get it. All right, and we're here with the man himself, former Arizona guard Nick Johnson. Nick, thank you for joining the Wildcast podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So, Nick, Dom and I are curious. Are you like a professional fisher, or what's going on?
Oh man, you know, it's something that I picked up. My dad, you know, introduced me and my brother when we were little. My brother actually worked out on a boat as a deckhand out of LA in the summer times, and you know, it's just grown from there. You know, I play basketball as my job, and you know, I get a lot of time off. So it's, you know, it's really perfect timing. You know, I get the summers off, which is usually the best fishing. So I get to go out and, you know, relax and, you know, it's really nothing that I want to do in the summer besides work out and fish.
Absolutely. Is there a specific spot that you go out to that you just love to go frequently?
Man, wherever, honestly. We, you know, it's kind of, when I got to Arizona, me, Caleb, and my brother Chris, we really, you know, started our whole little. I would say that's when it really got serious. You know, we try to take a few trips every year that are pretty big. We've gone to Alaska and fished on the Kenai River for salmon, and did halibut fishing out of there. We've done all up and down Mexico, and we've done the East Coast, Florida and Sarasota, Florida, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's really just varies, you know. You have so many different varieties of fish, and I have, my little bucket list where, you know, I want to catch all my little certain species on my bucket list. So every year differs.
Mm-hmm. You ever go deep sea fishing?
Yeah, I mean, that's mainly what we do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, this ain't no amateur fishing. This is
that's
real
what I was picturing. Like, I'm picturing Nick Johnson going out, like, in that the hat and, like, the full coat, like, out in the pouring rain in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, no, last year we actually went to Sarasota, Florida, and we caught two Goliath grouper. They were about 350 pounds. We've done tuna fishing, amberjack fishing, mahi-mahi, anything you can think of. So that's pretty much all deep sea. You know, you go out a certain amount. But, I mean, I always try to encourage people to try it because it's one of the funnest things I've done in my lifetime. You know, it's adrenaline rush when you get on a creature that's, you know, maybe only 50 pounds, but it's working you up and down the boat. And, no, it's really a workout.
That what was that Goliath fish that you just mentioned?
Yeah, Goliath grouper. It was about 350 pounds there.
That's a big fish.
It was huge.
That was really big.
Is that a big one?
That's what
I mean. They definitely get bigger than that. I mean, I'm not sure. I would probably say maybe 700-800 pounds is a fully grown one. But I mean, the great thing about that is the cool thing, I should say, is once you catch one, they're so endangered that you can't take them out of the water, so you have to jump in with them. So we have some pictures where me, Caleb, and Chris are actually in the water in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico with a big ass or big Goliath.
You're good, man.
Sorry.
Don't worry about it. You could say that word over the airwaves.
Okay.
That's awesome.
You can when you're talking about this fish, where you just pull up pictures of it. This thing's huge.
Yeah.
Man, it's ginormous, yeah.
Wow. So, Nick, it has been one heck of a year for you. You played for the Austin Spurs.
Yeah.
And not only did you guys win a G League championship, but you yourself won the finals MVP. Just talk about your year in Austin and just kind of what this year has meant for you in your basketball career.
Yeah, you know, it was big. The year before I was over in Germany, I decided to go overseas and, you know, see how that went. I was playing with Bayern Munich, and it was a good experience for me. You know, I got to learn a lot about what's over there and, you know, the style of basketball they play and stuff. And this year I kind of wanted to get back over on stateside, and so I went to the Spurs organization, and I mean, they do everything first class, and it was a great experience. Got to finish out the season really well. You know, like you said, we won the championship, and I was fortunate enough to get the finals MVP, which I definitely didn't expect, but you know, just a great year, or a great finish to the year. You know, we accomplished a lot of goals, and, you know, just trying to get that momentum to keep going into next year.
Absolutely. And have you ever had any run-ins with Greg Popovich?
I mean, we would go up to San Antonio a lot, and, you know, practice in their facilities and stuff like that. So definitely I have. I mean, when I was in Houston, playing against him a few times, I mean, that guy, he's a genius. It's amazing.
Give us your best Pop encounter.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't anything too crazy. I mean, you know, just when he walks into the room, you just have so much. I feel like everybody's on edge, you know. You realize greatness is in the room, basically.
It's like the principal walking.
I mean, just, you know, up and down that whole organization, you know, R.C. Buford, I mean, it's just excellence. You know, that's what they expect, and they preach that every day. You know, so like everybody says, it's a you know, first class organization, one of the best in the league. Everybody tries to model themselves after, you know, the Spurs.
Mm-hmm. And your former team, like you just mentioned, the Houston Rockets, man, they went to the Western Conference Finals and took the Warriors all the way out to Game 7.
They had a great season. You know, it was actually, I think everybody for a minute thought that they could do it. You know, it's they kept on. If it wasn't for that, really, that second half in Game 7, the what was it, 33s missed in a row. You know, they may have, but you know, I keep in touch with Clint probably the most. You know, his work speaks for itself. You know, he's done an amazing job. He had a big leap this year and really established himself as, you know, one of the best bigs in the game. So
yeah,
no, it was fun. It was really fun watching them. It'd be interesting to see this NBA Finals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nick, you talk about you know, what this G League season meant for you and winning MVP in the finals. What does that mean for the next step for Nick Johnson? I mean, is that just getting back to the NBA and maybe making getting minutes with the Spurs next year? Or I mean, what, after Finals MVP, what's the next step?
Yeah, you know, that's my goal. Obviously, everybody wants to play in the NBA, and you know, I feel like, you know, I'm setting myself up for a, you know, comeback. And I feel like, you know, I didn't get to prove to people and teams and stuff like that what I could do. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm working on my body. I'm continuing to get shots up in the gym. That's one of the reasons why I'm down here in Tucson working out, is, you know, I want to, you know, go into, you know, workouts, mini camps, whatever, vet camp, and show some teams, you know, what I'm about. I think just this season, you know, ending the way I have is you know, just a sample size of what a team can get.
What would you say is the biggest thing that surprised you about playing in the NBA?
Oh man, I always say this to, you know, some young guys or whatever, when they ask me that, I tell them an NBA player, someone who can do their skill, whatever they are good at, whether they're a three-point shooter, whether they're a defender, scorer, whatever, they can do that skill 82 times out of the year. Whereas a college player, doesn't matter if you're first-round pick, second-round pick, undrafted, you know, just a good college player, that guy, you know, he has nights off, he has, you know, stretches where he gets in slumps and stuff like that. I feel like that's the biggest thing in the NBA. You know, you have to be able to do your skill on any given night.
Absolutely.
What are the days after you guys won the championship this year into the off season? What does that look like? I mean, I know you're down in Tucson working out now, but how did the few days after winning the whole thing play out?
Yeah, no, it was we got to. We were in Toronto, which was a great city to finish in. And then, you know, we had our little parade back in Austin or whatever. And, I mean, really, you know, guys went their separate ways. You know, it's a little different than winning a college or, you know, NBA is where, you know, guys want to move on to the next step. Or, you know, we had a few guys that went overseas and played the last few months or whatever. So for me, I mean, I just, you know, sitting down with my agent and my family, just, you know, having a plan on where to attack this summer, you know, getting better at certain things and putting the best Nick Johnson out there for teams to see.
Absolutely. You still keep in touch with Kyle Fogg?
He just texted me this morning at 6 a.m. exactly.
Really. Wow.
Literally, he's... He never changes. That's my big brother. I'm trying to get him down to Tucson. Trying to coordinate some times where I can get down here with him.
Excellent.
Yeah. How about his rise over the last few years?
Yeah, seriously. You talk about how much money he's made over there in China, and I mean, playing in China, that's no joke. I mean, the key Chinese players I always think about is like Stephon Marbury. You know, that guy's the Michael Jordan of China.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. His last 3-4 years, you know, his come up from playing, you know, starting out in Finland and Belgium, and moving up to Spain last year. Actually, when I was in Germany, we got to play 4 or 5 times against each other. So that was pretty cool. And then now in China, it's pretty cool to watch all the success. But, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. That's one of the hardest working guys I've ever met. You know, he's part of the reason why I am where I am, because when he was a senior, I was the incoming freshman. I got to watch him work and, you know, to try to compete with him.
Man, that freshman year, that was one heck of a freshman year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talk about up and down years.
Yeah. Nick, I know you were in. I know you were over in Germany for a little bit. I know. I mean, you're obviously pretty content in the G League now. Have you ever thought about going back and playing overseas to try to make your way back to the NBA? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts about playing in Europe as opposed to the G League now that you've done both?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that I would go back to the G League next year. You know, my mindset pretty much is, you know, find the best opportunity I have over here and maybe a vet camp or a summer league or something like that and try to make that work. I'm definitely not opposed to going overseas. I mean, you know, it's depending on the place you go, it could be a great situation. I mean, I have a few teammates over there that I played with, whether it's G League or at Arizona, that are over there and they love it. You know, you make good money over there, and I mean, you get to travel the world. You know, that's at the end of the day, you realize you're playing basketball for a job, and you know, if you get to experience new things and everything like that, I'm all for that. So, I mean, it's a decision that I'll have to make. I'm still young, so I have some time, but I mean, it's definitely a thing to look at.
And plus the perks of traveling the world, you get to check out different spots to fish at.
Exactly.
You know, you got to look at the glass half full.
That's very true.
So Nick, being back in Tucson, I mean, I'm sure you've conversed with your former college coach. It has been one heck of a year for him. Can you just talk about the support that you've been giving Sean Miller and just everything that the program has been going through?
Yeah, you know, it was obviously a tough year for Coach and, you know, the whole Arizona organization. And, I mean, even us former players felt that. You know, we had – I remember the day everything broke and, you know, it was people coming up to me, texting me, asking me, calling me, stuff like that. So I couldn't imagine how it was here, but – you know, all we can do as players is, you know, speak what we know, you know, how we feel. And, I mean, you can't really do much about that. I sent out a tweet, Instagram post, you know, about my support for him. And, you know, like I said on that, you know, it'll never waver because, you know, I know the person he is, so. I mean, that's pretty much all I can say as far as that. You know, I'm not in the meetings or anything like that now. Of course. But, you know, I just you can only judge somebody off of what you've known from them. And you know, I've known Coach Miller for about, 8-9 years now, I would say. And, you know, from day one, it's been nothing but love. And, I mean – He's definitely one of my father figures as far as, you know, how I look to strive to be a better person.
Absolutely.
Nick, I want to talk about your a couple weeks ago, I think it was earlier in May when you were at the G League, the mini camp, and you had your max vertical jump of 39.5 was the highest at the combine. When's the last time your dad or uncle, Joey or Dennis, of course, both former NBA players, when's the last time one of them out-jumped you?
Oh, man. I would say it would probably be in, let's see. I want to say when my brother was actually learning how to dunk. He was probably 14 years old, so I would have been 11, 12. That was when my dad could really, you know, he could definitely still jump. He was showing him, you know, how to do certain things. But I mean, ever since then, my dad's 51 now, so he's been past his prime for a little bit.
Can he still take it to you a little bit
in the driveway?
Yeah, no, he definitely could. He's got that grown man strength, you know. It's something you gain when you put on a few pounds, but it still works.
It seems like something that never fails. If you're a dad, you can always beat your kid in a game and pick up basketball.
Never fails.
Yeah, no.
So that mustache you got going on, is that the new official Nick Johnson look?
You know we had to bring it up.
I'm digging the stash.
Honestly, we were in playoffs this season, and you know, I woke up from my little pregame nap. I always do, and I usually take a shower and everything. And I just was like, "Man, let's see how it goes." So I shaved the bottom and just left the stash. And you know, people, I've gotten a good response since then, mainly from males. But the guys see me, they're like, "Oh man, sick stash," and the girls probably don't really like it, but. I mean, that's okay. I don't, you know, don't have much trouble there. So. But no, I mean, you know, it's just something I've done, and I mean, I've usually do something in the summer every year, as far as something with my hair and maybe something a little crazier. I want to say, dating back to my freshman year at U of A, I had a. I don't know if too many people know this. I had a blonde rat tail.
What?
Going into college, I did.
Wow. We got to go dig up photos now.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's too many photos out there. I mean, I would say I was there for about a month before Coach made me cut it. And then my sophomore year, I dyed my whole head blonde. That was one. I don't think I did anything my junior year, but you know, it's something. You know, summertime, the sun get something in my head.
Oh, so but it was Coach who made you get rid of the rat tail, huh?
Oh yeah, he was like, I can't have one of the faces of my program turn around and he has a blonde rat tail.
Hey, who has it? JaVale McGee? He's rocked one.
Yeah,
he's rocked one forever. Hey, so if you're a male listening to this right now and you see Nick Johnson on the street with his new mustache, don't say anything to him. He doesn't need to hear it from you.
But tell some females around. Tell them to compliment.
Make sure you point it out.
You know, Anthony Davis got the brow. James Harden's got the beard.
JaVale McGee's got the rat tail.
Nick Johnson's got the stash. It's all good. It's all good.
Hey, I'm surprised nobody really has a... you know, stash that stands out in the league. Steven Adams, maybe.
Didn't Enes Kanter have a stash?
Yeah, I want to say Steven Adams and Enes Kanter were the stash bros.
Yeah,
that's so maybe. The stash would have worked well when you were with Houston. If you and James Harden, I mean, that's one hell of a combo with the mustache and the beard combo
that,
there.
Hell of a combo.
I don't even know if I could grow a stash then.
All right, Nick. Well, thanks again for joining the podcast. Again, welcome back to Tucson, as always. Okay, before we let you go, what's one thing about Tucson that you can't get anywhere else that's like a must thing to do or must eat?
Ooh, okay, I'm going to let people in on my secret. Best breakfast ever in the world. If I had one last meal in this life, I would go here. Cup Cafe downtown on Congress.
Ooh.
Their pancakes are the best pancakes I've ever had.
I'm glad you brought that up because I know I love Cup Cafe. I don't think you've ever had their pancakes though.
Oh, you're missing out.
Okay.
I'm telling you, every time I come to Tucson, I have to go there. So
absolutely,
that would be my one thing. That and I would definitely say Mr. Ons. I definitely have to stop by there.
It's going to be a huge line outside Cup Cafe tomorrow now. We're doing good business for him.
Okay. All right, Nick. Well, again, that's former Arizona Wildcat, Nick Johnson, just coming off a big year with the Austin Spurs, winning the G League title as well as Finals MVP. Nick, you're more than welcome to join the podcast anytime. We do appreciate having you on. And best of luck to your future endeavors, wherever that is. And have fun fishing.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Hey, take care, Nick.
All right, you too.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Wildcast podcast. Again, don't forget to download the free Wildcaster app available on the App Store and Google Play. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.